teachers or teaching people about the things of God. And we're going to do a lot of practical things. We'll talk about behavior. We'll talk about lesson preparation. We'll talk about how to teach. And we'll touch some things a little bit. Other things we'll go into a little more detail. And then if you have a specific question, we'll always try to have a time before we leave where you can ask some questions, and we'll try to answer it right then and right there. There will be a lot of resources you can look at. Please don't steal them, all right? But if there's a book you're really interested in, you're welcome to talk to me about it. We will give some away on Wednesday night, just a couple of books. And then I have some things on a flash drive that if you have a phone you want to plug it into or bring a laptop, they're free resources. I'm not going to print them out, because it's a lot, you know, a page, you know, 100 and some pages on a book. But you can put them on a digital device and you can read them. They're free. I've had permission to do that as far as copyright. And it can just be a help and a blessing to you if you want to learn. So a lot of things we'll be doing. And then Wednesday night we'll have a nice time with a test. Amen. As well as the Word of God. The test won't be so hard unless you don't pass. Okay. And so book of Mark, chapter number one tonight. The book of Mark and chapter number one. And I want to speak tonight a little bit about teaching and how our teaching needs to touch lives. We're just not about giving information out, all right? You can get that off of anything. But we really do need to make a difference in individuals' lives. And so we're going to read some verses here from Mark chapter number 1. And then we're going to jump to quite a few places in the scriptures tonight. A lot of them I've already printed out, so we can just go quickly through them. So if you have a pen, you might want to jot them down. You probably won't be able to turn to them as rapidly as I'm going to read some of these verses tonight. But we want to learn a little bit about this, about how does it all work? Because this morning we talked about how that all of us ought to be teachers, okay? Now, that doesn't mean we all need to have a classroom, okay? We're always all teaching with our life and our example and our testimony. And sometimes God grants you a classroom. You know, he grants you some students, like, in a formal setting, and you teach there. But the reality is that if you don't touch individuals, you probably shouldn't touch a group of people. You understand that? If you don't work at touching your neighbor, the people down the street, people you work with, if you don't work at those things, you probably shouldn't expect to have an opportunity to teach a multitude of people. Now, Mark chapter number 1, if you found your place, of course, this is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we looked at a little bit of this in Matthew this morning, but in verse 16, it's talking about Jesus Christ. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in a ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after them. Do you remember this morning, one of the points in Sunday school, what's something that you have to do? You have to recruit. Ooh, I passed my test, amen. All right, you have to recruit. You have to gather people, and that's what Jesus is doing here, all right? And so then it says in verse number 21, they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And verse 22, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. That's good teaching right there, is it not? It's teaching that people step back and they say, wait a second, I want to hear what this man has to say. The next few verses, there was the unclean spirit and the man there. We're not going to read those verses. There was Jesus going down, and Peter's mother-in-law was there, and he touched her, took up her by the hand in verse 31, and healed her. Verse 32 says, and at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And then in the morning he went out and he prayed. And then in verse 37, when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And in verse 32, he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore am I come forth. And Jesus Christ had a life that was busy teaching and touching lives. What about us? What is our life about today? I guess a question to ask ourselves is, when the last time I was able to touch somebody's life? When's the last time that I was able to speak to someone and teach them something, and it made a difference in their life? Not just maybe physically, but we're talking about spiritually and eternally. Let's pray tonight, and then we'll look at some thoughts in the scriptures. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, we need a challenge still. Lord, we will be practical teaching this week, but God, tonight, would you challenge us once again with this thought that, Lord, you've put us here in this place, in this earth, and Father, even in this community, and Father, in this church, that we might teach as you taught, that we might touch as you touched. And Father, we're able to do that. God, you command us to do it. You help us to do it. Father, sometimes we've fallen into fear. Sometimes we've fallen into busyness. Sometimes, Lord, we've never done it. We just didn't feel we could. And God, I pray that we would understand that we can if we'll follow you. And so, Lord, teach us tonight. Speak to us as only you can. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I am going to hurry through this next little portion. Not that it's not important, but I want to get to a point, but I want to lay a foundation a little bit about the importance. If we're going to touch lives, if we're going to teach people, it's an ongoing process in our life, okay? Sometimes I ask people, when is the last time that you learned something? You know, sometimes we get stale and we get stagnated, do we not? We stop learning. And the moment that you stop learning is when you start going down in your teaching. You know, I mean, a medical doctor that doesn't go to school all the time is soon out of practice. Isn't that right? I mean, they have to go get renewed and they got to get tested. And I'm kind of glad of that. I don't want a guy doing brain surgery on me if he has, 1982 technology. They've learned a lot since then, right? You understand that? Mechanics, a mechanic, if he doesn't stay up with it, he can work on the classics, but he's not going to work on that new car, is he? Now, you may not like the fact that the new car has to plug into a computer, but that's the reality of the world, right? And the guy says, well, I'm just not going to go into computers. Okay, fine. You're going to have some struggles when they bring that new car in. You're going to struggle with things that are on it. And so we have to always be learning new things, right? And I think all of us use phones today, right? And do you have one of those things called a smartphone? Does anybody still have a flip phone? I'm not belittling you. I'm going to admire you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wish I could just go back to a flip phone. Life would be so much easier. But I thought about just carrying one just to pull it out for fun to watch people's faces, But you learn new things about that phone, right? And if you don't keep up with some of those things in some areas of life, it can get what? A little bit stressful, a little bit difficult if you have a business or something like that. I'm just saying the world goes on and we have to learn and we have to learn, we have to learn. Praise the Lord, the Bible never changes, amen? But has any of us learned everything there is to learn in the Bible? I don't think so. You say, well, I read it through. That's good, but did you learn everything that's written in there? I don't even understand everything that's written in there. There are things I'm still wrestling with. I read it and I'm saying, what in the world is that talking about? And some things are called mysteries. You ever solve a mystery? Got to look for things. I'm just saying that we as God's people need to continue in our learning. And that's why every time you come to church and the pastor preaches, you got to learn something, all right? Not just for the intellectual part of it, but to make change in our life. But then you shouldn't wait until you come back to church the next Sunday and see what else you learn. You should be learning during the week. And you should go to your pastor and say, you know, what other books could I be looking at, or what are some things that could help me with whatever you're teaching on and preaching on? And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you spend some time going over truths and learning and studying. And then, as Pastor Matt said, ask a question in that part of learning process. You know, when I'm done teaching and nobody asks a question, I think, man, I failed. I know I'm not that good of a teacher. I didn't challenge them enough. I didn't get them into a place where they say, I want to know more about that. You know, and I know we live in a world full of shy people, and they may not ask the question then, but I sure hope afterwards they're asking questions, you know. Because we ought to have questions, amen. And so we are desiring that type of training. I have a little cartoon up here in my notes. I tried to make, and so I could copy it, but I didn't get it done right. And but a friend of mine over in South Africa, one of our Bible students, I had him draw this up for me because I was teaching some of these thoughts over there to our teaching class. And he drew a cartoon for me of a lady trying to get a job as a school teacher. And of course, the man said, you know, you need a 4-year certificate, you need this training, this training, this training, this training, da da la la la. And he went up the list and said, sorry, you are not qualified to teach this in this school. In the next cartoon is the same lady standing at church, and the leader of the Sunday school says, oh, I know you're brand new Christian, I know that you haven't known the Bible very long, but we need a teacher in that class. Go teach those kids. What's wrong with that? It's wrong. Then if you're going to teach about eternal matters, you ought to be learning some things and know some things. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get involved, all right? A young person can start teaching, as I said, individually, but I'm trying to point out that we really ought to be concerned to be learning, knowing our Bible better and in greater ways. I want to give you some of these verses. If you keep up, that's fine. If not, that's fine. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 2, it says, all these are talking about Jesus. Matthew 5, 2 says, he opened his mouth and taught them. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 29, for he taught them as one having authority. Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. In the book of Mark chapter 2, it says in verse 13, he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. I like Mark chapter 4, verse 2. It says, he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, we teach by stories and doctrines. Mark chapter number 10, he rose from thence, and he cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. Now that one, you know, he repeated it. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 17, it says, and he taught. Jesus was busy teaching. You can go through the book of Luke in chapter 4, verse 15. He taught. Chapter 4, verse 31, he taught them on the Sabbath day. In Luke chapter 5, and verse number 3, he sat down on a ship and he taught the people out of the ship. In Luke chapter 19, verse 47, he taught daily in the temple. In Luke chapter 20, verse number 1, it says, it came to pass that on those days he taught the people in the temple. He just was a teacher, Jesus Christ was. The 3.5 years that he walked on this earth, he spent his time teaching. But not only did he teach people, he touched people. And like I said, I'm just reading these verses to get it in our mind for a moment. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, Jesus put forth his hand, and he touched him, a leper, saying, I will be thou clean. Isn't that amazing? He touched a man with leprosy. That's not what you normally do. In Matthew 8, we already read, or we mentioned it earlier, he touched Peter's mother-in-law, and there she was healed. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, he touched the eyes of some blind men. You can read in Mark chapter number 7 about a man that was deaf and had a speech impediment, and Jesus put his fingers in his ears, and he spit, and he touched the man's tongue. Now, that's a little bit strange, isn't it? You know, if I came out there tonight and just grabbed hold of your tongue, that's strange. But Jesus did it, amen? In Luke chapter 22, verse 51, remember when they were coming to get Jesus and Peter pulled out the sword and whacked off the servant's ear? The Bible says that Jesus touched his ear and healed him. And that was the one who was coming, part of the group, to take Jesus and crucify him. And so Jesus was busy teaching and touching people's lives. You can look at these verses, Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 23, kind of a summary. Matthew 4, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was a man that went among the people and made a difference. Now we know he came to die. His sole purpose was to come and get on that cross and die for our sins. But while he was on this earth, he was continually teaching and touching lives. Look over in Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." There's his ministry. But then in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Now we're going to read the next two verses in a moment, but this morning, once again, do you remember where we read, in the same scenario, when Jesus saw the multitudes, what did he do? He sat down and taught them, didn't he? Now look what he says, though, because same scenario, we get a little bit more understanding here. Verse 37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Isn't that the need today? That we need laborers? I was doing some math work the other morning when I was reading that article about that school in Baltimore with the terrible pass rate. And they had their budget there, you know, and they had how much they were paying for how many people. And I was trying to figure out, you know, and basically it worked out to less than 10 employees per pupil. That's pretty amazing. I don't think they have a labor shortage. I think they have other issues. But I tell you what, we have a labor shortage of Bible teachers in the world. There are so many people that need to be taught the things of the Word of God and need their life touched. We need teachers. Now, in the average church across America, we have a crisis. The crisis is that our teachers are getting old. Amen. They're getting older. And as they get older, they still sometimes have the desire to teach, but who's going to take their place? Who's going to fill in the gaps? You know, when I do vacation Bible schools, I've noted that over the years that, boy, our teachers are getting older. Someone needs to be taking their place. A younger generation needs to rise up and become teachers. Now, I don't think that just because you're elderly means you should quit teaching, all right? But I do believe that you ought to be training someone to take your place, because God someday will take you unto glory. And we need teachers. The more teachers that are in a church, the more people you can effectively help. It's the fact. You can just help more people with more things. And we ought to be thinking about what Jesus Christ is saying about the need for laborers. The other thought is that as people become teachers, cannot God now send them around the world to teach others? But how can God send us someplace else if we're not doing it at home? If I'm not teaching people here, how can I go teach people in another church or another state or another culture? What a mistake that is when somebody gets into another country. They think they're going to help people, but they don't know how to teach people. They don't know how to touch lives. It's important that we raise up these laborers for the work of God. Teaching and touching lives. I brought something up here tonight just to make us think a little bit before I give you the main point that I have for tonight. Is that when it comes to touching, touch is powerful, is it not? Does everybody know what these things are? Aren't these wonderful? And you put those on. Has that changed the power of your touch? Now, I'm not against wearing these if you need to use them for certain things. But what's the purpose of that? And who is it supposed to protect? Me. I understand if, you know, but you talk to the doctors that do brain surgery, these things got to be a little different than this one, amen? They want to be able to feel that instrument. Because there's power in touch. Sometimes God's people have lost touch. Because they're worried about themselves. As a teacher, you have to stop worrying about yourself. You know why many people will never stand up and teach? Because they're afraid they'll make a mistake. They're afraid they're going to be embarrassed. You know? How many of you turn really red when you get embarrassed? I'm one of those people. I make a mistake, I look like a thermometer upside down, you know? I just turn bright red. That's why I'm not shaving my head. It'd scare people. But I'm going to tell you something. We forget that that's really not what God was, Jesus Christ. He didn't put on a glove and then touch somebody's tongue. He didn't put on a glove and touch their ears. He didn't put on a glove and touch the leper. He just touched. Now, I don't have time to go into it tonight, but if you touch something and your hands get dirty, what do? You go wash your hands. You ought to study it sometimes. The Bible says, cleanse your hands. The Bible talks about your hands and your feet getting dirty. And if you're going to teach people, I'm just going to tell you tonight, your hands are going to get dirty. You're going to have to touch people's lives. And if you think you're going to go into it and put on your sterile gloves, you're not going to. I found these as I was moving some stuff around, so I brought them in too. This is a great way to touch people. Amen. Gunner, I'd like to touch you tonight. Amen. That is the power of touch right there, is it not? But that's why some people get in the teaching, by the way. I really want to make an impact on some people's lives. I cannot wait till I get up there and tell them how it is. Oh, yeah. Wrong type of touch. Isn't that right? But we sure have to be careful that we keep a biblical perspective of how to properly touch lives. Because sometimes we're just extremists, aren't we? We're over here afraid we're going to get our hands dirty, or we're over here thinking, I just can't wait to teach that person a lesson. Wrong type of touch, amen? So how can I, as an individual that wants to touch lives, how can I have that in my life? Okay, we're going to talk about practical things tomorrow, which we need. But I want to talk about some spiritual things tonight. So the first thing that I really wanted to get to this evening before we finish this service is this. You have to be in touch with your Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. You can't touch people unless you are in touch with Him. That is a priority tonight. If you don't learn anything else this week, I want to tell you something. If you get this truth tonight, I'll promise you, you'll touch lives. It starts by being a spiritual person. Sometimes I get afraid. I got boxes of stuff. I'm a collector of objects to teach with. And I get young people that come along, and everybody always wants to know my secrets. You know, you do a lesson with some chemicals. They want to know the chemicals. They want to know how to cut a rope and put it back together. They want to pull a rope through people's necks. They want to know how to, you know, do those things. And I always hesitate to show them how those things are done, because if they're not in touch with God, they'll take that information and they'll use it to impress people. They'll use it to control people. They'll use it to get people to clap for them. They might even use it to go out on the street corner and put a hat down and make money. All for the wrong reasons. The only reason I study and read those things is because I do want to touch people's lives, and I hope it's the same way with them. But if I'm not careful, I can get carnal. You know, I like to use illustrations like this, but God taught me something many, many years ago. You only use it if God wants you to. There's times I've had an illustration all laid out, and it was one of those wow things, and God said, don't use it. Just leave it alone. What do? You leave it alone. Other times, God says, do it. I'm saying tonight that we as God's people have to be in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your walk with God like? Could I ask you a question tonight with all sincerity? How much time have you spent in His Word? Now, I'm not saying that you have to spend volumes of time, hour upon hour, but surely the Word of God should mean enough to you that every day of your life you get in touch with the Lord. I mean, after all, we take our phones and we get in touch with people all the time, right? Just checking in. Just this. Hi. Smiley face. Whatever, you know. How are you? Do you have a walk with God tonight? You ought to ponder that. You don't have to be a great reader. You can, you know, we have phones today that can read the Bible to us. Amen. But you need to have a walk with God. You have a time every day where it's just you and God, and you learn from Him. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us so. Daily. Daily. The Lord Jesus Christ was daily out praying and talking to His Father. How's your prayer life tonight? Do you talk to God about more than your food and the sick people you know? Now, I'm not against asking God to bless your food, and I'm not against praying for sick people, but prayer is so much more than that. Pray without ceasing. You need a prayer life. You need to spend time with God. You need to be praying for the needs of spiritual things in people's lives. Amen. Could I ask you this question? How often do you praise the Lord for things? I think it's a good thing to keep some type of a journal, electronic, written, whatever. The Bible talks about recording what God has done. I think it's good that you write down what God teaches you and what God has done in your life, and you go back over them and you rehearse them. You're in fellowship with Him. What about your walk with God among your fellow believers? I think it's very important if you're going to be a teacher in a classroom in a church. You have to be doubly careful to make sure that you're not missing other services in the church. I've watched many a teacher who got active in teaching the children in the church, but soon, because they were so busy with that class, they were missing other services, that pretty soon they're faded in their Christian walk because they're not getting fed. We all need the preaching of the Word of God. We need it. We need to be in. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I'm just saying tonight, you're not going to touch lives unless you're in touch with God. And you can't just be in touch with God accidentally. He wants you to purposely spend time with Him. What about your personal study? I'm not talking about your devotion where you just read the Bible and, you know, grab some things from the scriptures to help you through the day. When is the last time you took a doctrine, a truth, a principle, and you got in the Word of God and you studied it to find out what it means? Now, this is what I challenge people that are already teaching. When I get to talk to teachers that are already teaching, I like to ask them, so what are you studying? They say, well, I'm studying my lessons. No. What are you studying for yourself? It's a dangerous trap to only study to teach. You have to study other things. You got to be in that Word of God, studying. And we all should be doing that, amen? You know, I tell people all the time, I told the church last week, just to make an illustration, I talked about some things about music, and I said, you know, people want to come, they want to argue about music, but I asked them a question, have you studied what the Bible says about music? The Bible says something about music? A lot. The book of Psalms is nothing but music, right? And the Bible talks a lot. And so we as believers, you know, we get mad at the preacher. Has the preacher ever made you mad? Everybody better raise your hand up or I'll call you a liar, okay, all right? Because I know your preacher, all right? He preaches the Word of God. And the preacher will say something, and your flesh will say, uh-uh. It's really bad when you say it out loud. No, sir, preacher. He just ignores it for a bit. But let me challenge you with something. Next time you get that uh-uh in you, why don't you go get your Bible and study it from front to back on that subject? Don't go to the internet. Okay, let me say that again. Don't go to the internet. Don't go home and punch in and see what everybody else says about what he just said. That's not a very smart thing to do. Amen. Get your Bible. Maybe you might need a reference book so you can find verses. But get your Bible and find out what God says. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God is your teacher. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you go to the Bible and the Holy Spirit is teaching you, did you know the Holy Spirit of God is going to teach you the same thing he teaches him? Same teacher. Right? Because here's the fact. If you disagree, one of you has to be wrong. And I know your preacher well enough that if he's wrong, he'll change to what the Bible says. But most people don't do that. They get on the internet and find all these other twisted things that people are saying. No. Which means you're not going to be able to talk to him about it probably in a week. Unless you're going to him and saying, where's that in the Bible? I want to see this. Show me verses. I'm going to study this, you know. I want to learn it. It's going to take you some time. Because I'll guarantee the pastor, before he preached on it, didn't get on the internet and download it. Amen. Now, if he is, we'll be talking, amen. But I know he's not. I know he spends time studying, not what other people say, but studying what? The scriptures. And so when you get that oh no moment in church, don't get all angry. Just get in the scriptures. Because we need to be in touch with who? With God. Lest we quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit, and fail to be able to touch people. Do you remember when the disciples could not cast out the demon? They came to Jesus, and Jesus said, this type goeth not forth, but by what? Prayer and fasting. You see, if I'm going to teach others, I have to have his power. Amen? If you're going to teach others, you have to have what? His power. If you're going to teach in a classroom, or if you're going to teach on the street, you have to have his power. And the second thing that I wrote down is to be in touch with ourselves. Now, that sounds really weird, doesn't it? I don't think I'd ever say that in public, but I did. Be in touch with your inner self. Amen. But let me explain what I mean by that. You need to know what's going on in your life. You need to evaluate yourself. You need to do a spiritual checkup. You really do. You need to say, how am I doing in my spiritual life? It's really good to sit down once in a while and just look at your life and say, where am I spiritually? When, you know, did any of you ever do this when you were a kid in your house, or maybe as you're older? Did you have a door or a place in your house where when your child went up there and you drew a line a date and you drew a line a date and drew a line a date? Any of you ever do that? Okay, we never did that in our house. I don't know why, because RVs aren't built for that. But you know, you kind of like to see that what? That growth. And that's what I'm saying. If you don't see growth, you know, if your child, year one, year two, year three, you're just digging a hole in the door, you're probably going to go to the doctor and say, 5 years, the same mark. Right? I mean, what do they do with babies? When you take them down to the hospital for their checkup, what do they put them on? And what do they have? A chart that has what? All their records, right? And they look at those, and they look at that, and they see, and they check, and they do. And if you're an athlete and you're lifting weights, what do you keep track of? You just randomly go about it, right? Works well, huh? What do you do with your bank account? You're always checking on it, hoping it'll magically grow. I'm just saying, don't we in life sit down and evaluate so many things? All the time, don't we? When's the last time you sat down and evaluated your spiritual self? You need to do that. Let me tell you another good thing to do. Hey, Pastor Matt, let's go have coffee, lunch, whatever. And sit down and say, hey, Pastor, can I ask you a question? How do you think I'm doing spiritually? After he gets up off the floor, give me some time to think about it. Or husbands go to your wife. Wife goes to your husbands. Amen. Young people, go to your parents. Go to another godly Christian that knows you well and sit down with them and say, can I ask you a question? How do you think I'm doing spiritually? Please be honest, because I do want to be everything God wants me to be. Sometimes what people have to say to you hurts, doesn't it? Doctor says, diet time. You don't know nothing, doctor. Exercise time. Tells you to cut out some of your favorite food. He's just a mean person, right? What's he trying to do? Trying to help you, right? Football player goes to the coach and says, hey, how am I doing? Coach says, you need some practice. Why don't we do that spiritually? Why don't we spiritually ask people to evaluate you? And then the third thing that I wrote down is this one. Look at the people you're teaching. This is a hard one. Look at your class. Look at the people that you have influence on and see how they're doing. That might shake you up. Amen? That might make you say, I'm not doing so good. Look at the product that's coming out. I need to change something. Isn't that right? If you're ever working anything in life and you know everything's coming out a mess, it's time to stop the machinery down, find out what's wrong, and fix it, right? I worked in a box factory. Man, I could turn out boxes. I told you about that. One time I turned out an order, they promised me a big bonus. I showed up and they said, this has to be on the truck like now. Last shift didn't get it done. If you can get it done and get it on that truck in like 15 minutes, man, you're getting triple bonus. Man, I fired my machine up. I ran those boxes through. I had them on the truck. I was so happy because I made a big bonus until 3 days later. 3 days later, I walked in. All those boxes are sitting in what they called the reject pile. I said, oh. First thought was the guy that printed it must have printed something wrong. So I went over and looked. I cut the band open, opened up the first box, looked at it. And as soon as I looked at it, I said, oh, no. My machine had put a chunk hole in every single one of them boxes. I never caught it. Bye-bye bonus. Sat down in the supervisor's office and got chewed out. He said, do you know how mad that customer was when they got those boxes? I said, nope. And I thought, oh, if I'd have only stopped and checked those boxes. All it would have taken is for me to stop my machine, walk back there, open one up, and I'd have seen it. I could have fixed the problem. I knew what the problem was, and it would have been better. You ought to look at your products and let it challenge you. Tonight I want to ask you a simple question. If you're going to touch lives, if you're going to teach lives, you have to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ and you have to be in touch with Him. You ever grab an electric fence? Isn't that fun? When you grab a hold of that thing, pow! It gets you, doesn't it? How many of you know the real secret, though? Oh, yeah. There's some young people here. Don't try this at home. All right? But if you really want to have fun with that electric fence, you grab someone that's walking by. Because if instead of you getting popped, guess who gets popped? They do. Isn't that good? That's just wonderful. No, not the fence. The illustration. Isn't it great to be in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ? He does something to you, doesn't he? But is that all he wants? He wants what? Touch somebody else spiritually. And watch them touch somebody else. And watch them touch somebody else. It's kind of a fun game. But you know what? If you let go of the fence, what good is it? What are you doing to them? In fact, if they're walking by and you just grab a hold of them, what's wrong with you? Didn't get that? I'm trying to help you. Not unless you're in touch with the source of all power, the Lord Jesus Christ. So my challenge tonight for you is there are practical things we want to learn. There are practical things we should learn. But they really don't mean anything if we're not in touch with God. If we don't walk with Him. Now, we don't have to compare ourselves to each other. Amen. Nobody's better or worse. We just have to make certain that we as an individual are in touch with the Lord. When you go to work tomorrow, if you're in touch with God, you're walking with Him, you'll make a difference in people's lives. Can't help but do it because you have the Spirit of God in you working through you. That's an amazing thing. Now, as you go along in life, you can learn some things. You can learn some things to help transfer what God has done for you to other people. You really can. The Bible's full of practical things of living that help our life. But the most important truth is to be in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray you would help us this evening. God, may you just challenge us, God, about the importance of knowing you. And God, a spiritual life. Lord, and I just tonight would help us to have that longing in a busy world that is upside down, that we'd be seeking to know you in a better way. Because the more that we know God, the more we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we study the scriptures, the more we spend time in prayer, the more we walk with you, then Father, the more we are like you, and the more we are like you, the more we can change others' lives. And so God, please, Lord, help Mountain View Baptist Church with that. Lord, strengthen them. Father, may they continue to do it according to your will and according to your plan. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.